Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast. Chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head. And I say it like it's my mantra.
That is why we are going to focus and try to walk a straight line for a little bit. Our official band, Newborn, you can check them out at newbornband.com. Not newborn.com, newbornband.com. They have some awesome music and they are growing like crazy. So enjoy them because they are our official music makers. And today we are going to do our first ever Stars of Fort Hamilton Toastmasters meeting on Tippy Talk, which I'm very excited about because it's going to be an amazing new phenomenon in Toastmasters where we will be able to have you join us whether you're in China or in Hawaii or in North Carolina or in Manhattan. And that is going to be a revolutionary breakthrough, which is really basically the future because everybody is really at the end up doing everything online. So today, on our first meeting, our main star that put the show together, Robert, is what he just said in no man's land. So he's trying to join us, but he keeps coming in and popping out, popping in and popping out. So I think he's going to be the popping master today. He's going to be popping in and out. But we have somebody so much more fun with us, which is Peter DePola, and he is our humor master, which is so much more fun than the pop-in, pop-out master. And so, Peter, I'm so excited that you're here with me, and you didn't abandon me to be here all alone. Thank you so much.
I wouldn't want you to be lonely. Thank you for having me. And I'm really proud to be the master of the humorverse.
Yes. One day I will be able to walk beside you and learn your art because I think it is one of the most awesome things that we have going on. And so as the master of the humorverse, we are going to open up this meeting. Since our president is not here, I will fill in for the president. And we're going to jump right in to the humorverse. Master, the master of the humorverse, or the humor master, and I'm going to give it over to you so that you can do your humor master thing and give us your inspiration and your moment of humor.
Oh, thanks,
Peter
Tippy.
DePola.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. I can't tell you. Thank you. It's an honor. So I have, for an inspiration, I have a quote from Albert Einstein, because he's very quotable. So he once said, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. So I like that quote because there's a lot of potential there, a lot of possibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can definitely see that because if you live your life as if nothing is a miracle, then your life is just plain old, everyday, boring stuff, right?
Right.
But if you live your life as if everything is a miracle, then you walk outside and you see grass growing, and you're like, oh, my God, look at this grass. It's growing. And you look up in the sky, and it's raining, and you go, oh, my God, isn't it amazing? It's raining. And when you really think about it, even down to our breathing is a miracle in itself. So that's really something to think about. It's a good way to wake up, isn't it? So what was your miracle for today?
Well, my miracle for today, like every day, is that I have another day to experience miracles. I look around me and I think everything is a miracle, just like you said, grass growing, breathing, just, you know, I mean, it makes life that much more interesting as opposed to walking around and saying, well, everything's no good. Well, then,
yeah.
If you want it to be no good, it will. But I like to look at things like it's a miracle, like everything has possibility, unlimited possibilities, unlimited potential. That's why I think I picked this quote.
I love it.
Plus, I think what Albert Einstein did was amazing. What he did in his life was a miracle.
Yeah, he did some pretty amazing things. I guess maybe that came from the fact that he looked at everything as a miracle and he basically expanded on that.
Exactly.
So even us being here right now doing our first ever Toastmasters meeting on the live, on the air, for a global audience that anybody can join, I think the potential in that is definitely a miracle, and it's definitely so exciting because, you know, sometimes you just want to sit in your house and you want to be comfortable and do something like a Toastmasters, which you can learn so much. So there is a big miracle right here that we are creating right now.
I agree. Would you like me to do something for the humorous part of the Toastmasters meeting? I have a quote from America's first stand-up comedian, Mark Twain. A lot of people don't know that. He was a humorist, but he was also like the first stand-up comic. He would give lectures and be very funny because his humor had to be. Here's one of his quotes. Mm. I love this quote. He says this about his childhood. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years.
I like that one, yeah.
Every child.
No.
Every adolescent.
I really didn't know that Mark Twain was humorous at all. How did you find out? Because I always... Mark Twain, to me, was a classical writer. He wrote a lot of stuff, but no one ever presented him to me as a humorist, especially not the master of the humorverse.
Yeah, he was quite the humorist, yeah. And he didn't live such a very positive life. He suffered from depression most of his life, but he managed to find that spark in him of humor, and he shared it with everybody. He had a very interesting outlook on life. Could see beneath the surface, you know, that's what made it humorous. Because what is good humor? It deals with truth.
Mm. It fills with deep, profound truth.
Well, it could, yeah. Yeah, on many levels, yeah. But people laugh when you express something that they've experienced or that they can share in that experience, and you make it, you twist it, you kind of bend it a little, you know, so they see the humor in it.
Like, do you have an example for that?
No, but I'm sure you can watch a lot of stand-up comics and see it. I mean, really good ones. I'm not a stand-up comedian, but I do admire humorists. I try and, you know, just learn as much from them as I can. Yeah.
So isn't it kind of like an oxymoron of someone to see the humor? When you see the humor in life and you laugh, it's kind of supposed to make you happy, right? When you're laughing, it kind of makes you happy.
Yeah.
So how can someone like Mark Twain, that saw the humor in things, which is supposed to make people happy, be also depressed at the same time? Isn't it hard to understand that?
I don't think his goal was to make people happy. He didn't care how people. He might have even had a comment about that too, about an idea about that. His motivation wasn't to make people happy. He just needed to express that part of himself that probably kept him alive and vibrant, so he didn't suffer, you know, too much from his state of depression. You know, because he could see the humor in life.
Yeah, so it's not about making other people happy, but I'm saying if you can see the humor in life, like for me, when I see the humor side of something, it kind of takes away the deep, heavy, depressing feelings that I have about something. Because it just seems
right.
Silly and fun. So that's why, to me, I'm going to put Robert on mute because he's making too much noise. I don't know where he is. It's very noisy. So, Robert, I put you on mute, so just stand by. So if he saw the humor in things, I'm just asking you. I don't know. I know you're not a psychologist or anything like that, but I'm just asking you because I'm just thinking about it. If he saw the humor in things, which he did, how can he still be depressed? And you know what I mean? Does it seem like an oxymoron?
No, not really. I think there's no criteria for what makes somebody see humor. There's no rule to it. Like, people who are not depressed can be good humorous, and people who are depressed can be good humorous. It's the person. It's their observation. Their power of observation. How they see the world. Most people who are humorous see the world in very interesting ways. They don't see it like what would you call the average person, or you know, the person who is in the audience when you go to see a comedy show or something. But this is different now. Humorists are different from comedians.
Yeah. I think that's such a fine line, and it's so important for people to understand that, and that's why you are the master of the humorverse, because people confuse that, humor to comedy. And it's really not the same. I mean, it's both supposed to be funny, but it's not exactly the same thing.
Right. Like, I could, for example, somebody who's a professional comedian or a comedian aspiring gets up and tells a series of jokes. And
right.
you can't write those jokes and say, oh, this joke's going to be funny, or boy, is this going to really kill them, is it going to kill, you know. You have to kind of discover that. You just have a knack for seeing the world in a way that's funny, you know, and it all deals with truth. So you get up and you do a series of jokes, maybe on a specific topic. But humorists are more, they do more commentary. They take ideas and they comment on it, and they maybe do like, you know, a whole, there's a commentary on it, you know, speak about an idea for a while, and they can see the humor in it. So it's different. Even though the final outcome is that people laugh, the approach is different. Humorist's goal is not to tell one funny joke after the other. We all have a little bit of humorous in us. Some people say, oh, I could never be a stand-up comic. It's probably true. You probably couldn't be. You know, because the fear of getting up in front of an audience is the first thing you have to get over. And then the next thing is to be able to write material that's funny. So, yeah, if you think you couldn't be one, you probably won't be. You know, so, but all of us have a sense of humor in us, but some have it more accessible than others.
Yeah, and actually you're the one that taught me that. I didn't even know that there was a distinction, and I didn't even know that I could be funny sometimes without even trying to be. Not that I want to be a stand-up comic, but sometimes I present things in a way and people laugh. And I don't really plan to be funny, or I don't care if people laugh or not, but I just find that the way I express myself sometimes they find humorous, which is really cool, really, really cool. And so I'm going to give a little bit of tease of what's going to happen next week, because I know that for today you are going to run off and leave us. And so tune in next week, or come join us next week, actually, because Peter is going to give us one of his speeches, which happens to have a lot of really tasteful type of humor. It's not vulgar comedy, stand-up comedy type of thing. And I think when they listen to you, which I have, and it's been a treat. So I'm hoping that you are willing to do it next week, because I'm kind of committing you to something that you did not agree to yet. But by listening to you and hearing one of the way you present things, it's a subtle, beautiful type of humor that people enjoy, and they laugh and they smile, and yet you don't feel like you've been assaulted with vulgar comedian stand-up type of thing, which sometimes feels very invasive. So
right.
I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, and thank you for volunteering me for that. it's putting me on the spot and turning the spotlight on me. But
I hope I didn't overstep my boundaries here.
No. It's now I'm committed to whatever it is you need me to do next week. It's fine. But yeah, we don't insult people. It's not good to insult. It's not good to insult people, really. I mean, what do you get out of it? You know, we only allow certain people to do that, like Don Rickles, you know, but. You know, that's how he made his living, insulting people. But he did it in a way he probably had to run out of the nightclub many times as he's being chased by audience members, I'm sure, yeah. But, but we don't, you know, we really want to be kind. You know, if you can connect to people in a way that makes them feel like you really care about the state they're in or how they feel at any particular time, you can just win over so many people that way. It's amazing. And humor is a way to do that. And we all have that ability. It's just some people hide it more than others. We could talk about that more maybe on another episode. I'd love to come back.
Awesome. So if you do have to run, I don't want to hold you back. But thank you so much for joining us, and I do appreciate your input today. And for everybody else, join us next week so you can hear a little bit of the masterful way that Peter puts together his humorous ideology. Wow, ideology, humorverse. I'm coming up with a lot of things today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Peter. We'll see you. And now we are so lucky to have Robert join us from what he terms no man's land. And somehow in no man's land, it looks like you managed to find a connection, which is kind of a little bit harsh because I just heard a phone ringing. Robert, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely we can. That is really, really cool. So happy to hear you, because for a while there I thought we are not going to be able to tap into your no man's land situation. And
well,
as the
it's no
president
man's land
of
for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bars out here.
Mm-hmm.
On the cell
Where
phone
are you?
On Long Island Road. I'm in the Carolinas, South Carolina now, and most of the roadways were low level to where they were flooded out. And we were on these roads that were just unchartered. So it was really an excursion. And, of course, there's no cell phone lines out there or antennas, and now we're getting back over to I-95, which is a lot more civilized.
And that's one of the things that's really so wonderful about doing our first Toastmasters meeting on Tippy Talk, which is you can be in North Carolina in no man's land or on I-95, or you can be on a lighthouse in the middle of Oregon where the ocean is blowing steam, and still you can join us, and still you can actually learn and participate and do and be part of the Toastmaster meeting. I think that's very exciting, Robert. As the president and as the fact that this is your idea, I'm so looking forward to it, because I think this is going to be amazingly awesome.
It's going to be fantastic. We're going to take this club to where no other Toastmasters club has gone before. And right now, you have a humorous speech champion, Peter DePaul.
Coming up next week.
Well, you just had him on the air there for a little while. We've also reached out to the founder, Bob Bowes, who's over in Great Britain. When he gets word of this, he'll be able to join us. I'm here in North Carolina, South Carolina now. You're back in New York. We do have people on the military installation at Fort Hamilton. So it's amazing what we can do. We've brought this to another plateau, and we're going through the roughest of, you know, we just underwent Hurricane Matthew. So, people will survive these storms just like we'll survive this startup here, and it'll only get better.
Yeah, so this is very exciting. But because this is our first meeting today, and not too many people still know about it, and as the president, I'm wondering if maybe you want to give a little bit of a presentation of letting people know what it is they can expect from this kind of a meeting.
Well, first and foremost, I'm not the president at the moment. Bob Bowes
is
the president. Bob Bowes is the president and the founder. He left to London, so we've lost him. But being that we have now found a way to bridge that gap, if he decides to stay on, we'll keep Bob on. And if he decides to leave, he'll have to be discharged. And then you could have a new president, which could be myself. I'm just the acting president as the VP of Education right now. And I was lucky enough to be inspired by Peter's speech on cell phones and smartphones, to where we've come up with this new innovation of another inspiration from Barbara Corcoran, her new book, Use What You've Got. So we're using what we've got. We've got your talk show, Tippy Talk. We have Peter's inspiration of using a smartphone. And we have an opportunity with this new platform to bring this whole venue into another way of communicating.
Yeah, that sounds really, really exciting. I had just looked up the time in England right now. It's almost midnight. As a matter of fact, it's 8 minutes to midnight. And so if somebody wants to join from England, like Bob, I guess to them this is going to be the midnight show.
Well, as you know, he never sleeps, so that's how he got so many things done.
I like that. So then he can actually,
join
us.
For us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, what you're answering. Go ahead.
So, you know, we've already was able to get a hold of Peter before he was going off to his meeting. We're able to get a hold of myself while I'm on the road, and you're at your studio, which is...
I was out of the subway.
So coming out of the subway, which, you know, today we're traveling around more than ever, and fortunately we have better capacities, but they've got a long way to go to bridge the gaps. Toastmasters...
So this is one way to bridge the gap, that's what you're saying.
Absolutely. You have to, you know, use what you have. And humor, like Peter was talking about, and I caught some of your conversation there. The tragedy is that sometimes you have a humorous situation, you don't see it. And your mindset, as Peter was saying, is what can make all the difference in the world of how you look at it and turn it into something that's very exciting and move it along. So, you know, in Toastmasters, the structure of it is to have somebody who starts off with something inspiring. And this year, I think, is very inspiring, where we're trying to bring a new platform about. And then, you know, to have somebody come up with a joke, get them to laugh. That's the humorous side. Peter?
Yeah. That's the humorous side, and we're losing you, and we can't really hear what you're saying, Robert. So we're not going to let you waver in and out. So I'm going to kind of fill in for you, and when you come in back again into the studio, let me know. But basically, there's a huge benefit here of having Toastmasters online. And number one, of course, it's because you can call in from anywhere. Like Peter was calling in and running around. Robert is calling in from North Carolina. I'm in New York City. No, actually, now I'm in Brooklyn. I was in New York City before. And we're all able to come together and still do the meeting. That is number one. That is really, really, basically, I think it's the next level of meetings. It's the future. And then another thing, you can learn how to speak with confidence. And if you're in a very busy schedule, all you have to do is really call in. Sometimes you could just listen, or if you're ready and you have a speech, you can participate. And because it is on the air, you're also going to learn how to be interviewed and how to be a good interviewee so that the host will want to call you back again. But the things that you should do, how you should respond, we're going to focus a lot on skills of being interviewed so that takes it to even the next level. We're also going to focus on leadership skills, which is one of the big things in Toastmasters, and on being able to be the leader and to create new things and new ideas. And really, from Toastmasters is how Robert came up with this idea. I actually had that idea in my head, but I just really didn't do anything about it until you came, Robert, and you put that idea out there, and I said, wow, it's what I've been thinking about. So really, great minds do think alike, because we were both thinking about it, and then you actually are the one that made it happen. And so that's really great. And we're going to be also doing table topics, which means that you're going to get a chance to speak on your feet. We're going to ask you a question, and you're going to have a spontaneous answer. And that's going to teach you how to think and speak at the same time and not be overwhelmed if you're put in a situation where all of a sudden you have to get up and say something. That's a really powerful place to be, because surprises are always difficult to deal with. And then you're also going to get the opportunity to run the meeting, to be a Toastmaster, to be the president of the Toastmaster, to be in charge of a lot of different big things and little things that actually make this meeting successful and on time and on track and powerful. And so we have a lot to learn. We have a lot of things that we're probably going to improve on. And we have a lot of things that we already know because we've already been with Toastmasters for a long time. I've been with Toastmasters for more than 5 years. I don't remember exactly how long, but I know it's more than 5 years. And Robert, can you hear me now?
I can, Tippy.
Okay, so how long have you been with Toastmasters?
I have been with Toastmasters for 20 years.
And Robert, you've been with Toastmasters for 20 years. So between the two of us, we have at least 25 years of experience with Toastmasters. And we have now Peter, and we're going to get some really, really amazing members. And so you're welcome to join us either as a member to come in and be able to give speeches, or you can join us as a guest anytime also, because as a guest, we still always welcome you, because guests are always welcome in Toastmasters, and definitely they're welcome in Stars of Fort Hamilton, which is a brand new club, and I love brand new projects because you just never know how it's going to grow, and to me, that is so exciting. Is that exciting for you, Robert? Did I miss anything, any of the benefits that people can have by joining us?
Stars of Fort Hamilton is a new club. It's on a military installation, so it's a gated community. It has views that are phenomenal, superior views in the borough of Brooklyn. You wouldn't even know you were in Brooklyn. It's inside a facility that's the officers' club. It has a lot of history. There's the cannons that used to protect the harbor. They fired them once, broke out a lot of windows, so they asked them not to fire them anymore, and fortunately we haven't had to fire any of those cannons. The bluff there, when they do fire some of the smaller cannons during Fleet Week. There's food on the facility, which there's at a lot of Toastmasters meetings, you don't have that option. There's also libations. There's also karaoke and live entertainment. The meals, there's some formal dining during the rest of the week. So it's, the facilities are superior. It's a landmark building. The other advantages are, there's a different style than what Toastmasters has, that the military has its own style of leadership. And it'll be good to see where the two Chris and where they cross, and what maybe some of the different venues are in leadership styles. Basically, though, the one common denominator, that be a Toastmaster or be a military leader, you'd rather people pick up a phone and talk to one another than pick up a gun and go that route. So Toastmasters, ultimately, all confrontations are going to start by a miscommunication, and all are going to be resolved by being better communicators. So we look to seek that wisdom from both our civilian and our military personnel to come together. And we're going to focus on bringing that to a new area of improving both the civilian and the military aspect of communicating.
Wow, that's so much to do. And so we have a lot to look forward to. But as of today, since you are a little bit in no man's land with your cell phone and you don't really sound that great, I'm not going to hold you anymore. We're going to adjourn this meeting. And we're going to return again next week. You will be calling in at 6:15, and we will continue this meeting. We will send out all the information to you. I'll send a link to everybody so that hopefully next week we can join. And also, one of the things that is important when you do join us is, before you do, try to make it into a place, if you can, where you're going to have some kind of reception where we can actually hear you. We can hear you, Robin, and we can at least communicate a little bit, but it is difficult because you're kind of going in and out and your voice is a little bit choppy, and I'm really hoping that people will hear and understand everything that you said.
We will work with Verizon and T-Mobile to see what we can do there, Tippy.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. This has been a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward. We're going to be meeting every week on Thursday at 6:15. The number to call in is 914-338-0685, 6:15 every Thursday, Robert, or were we doing it every other Thursday?
We're scheduled to meet the second and fourth Thursdays of the month.
Okay, so it's the second and fourth Thursday. So it's not going to be every Thursday. The second and fourth, and you will be notified. So if you're interested and you want to hear more about it and you want to be informed and you want to know when the next show is going to be and get the link to it and the phone number. So the phone number is 914-338-0686. Everybody's welcome to call in. But if you do want to get the link and all the information, you're going to have to email me. And we're going to email Tippy Talk. So the email address is tippytalkshow@gmail.com. That's all you have to do. Or if you want to call in at 6:15, every second, you said, and fourth Thursday of every month, then that's the number to call in at 6:15 so that we can actually get you lined up and ready to participate in the show. This has been really great. This is our first ever Toastmasters online for Stars of Fort Hamilton. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful 2 weeks, and we will talk again on the next meeting. Any last words, Robert?
It's been a pleasure speaking with you, as always, Tippy. And also, on Monday nights, anyone can join in to also listen to, on that same number, to hear what's going on with Tippy Talk.
Yes, you can call in on Monday night at 5 o'clock, live at 5 on Mondays, to listen to Tippy Talk. And that's where we talk about your story, about things that are important to you, and things that can improve your life and make it more powerful and more productive. So basically our focus is to be able to get to, from here, where things may not be so great, to where you want to go, where things will be amazing. As Peter said at the beginning of the show, where you can watch the miracles unfold no matter where you are, no matter what you see. So I'm not exactly quoting Mark Twain, but that's basically what he said. You can see everything as if it is a miracle, or you can see everything as if it's just not a miracle. So it depends on how you look at it. And the way we look at it on Sippy Talk is that everything definitely is a miracle.
I'd like to leave with one Toastmasters tip of giving a perfect speech. The late Greg Batson had said this: the perfect speech is when you can make them laugh, make them cry, and make them write you a check. Hopefully we can do that for our professional speakers.
I like the write you a check part.
So
that's
focus
cool.
on that. Make them laugh, make
Wonderful,
them cry,
Robert.
Make them write you a check.
Until we meet again, a couple of checks my way, a couple of checks right into a Toastmaster so we can make this a very successful meeting. Join us to be a member. Very easy. Don't forget, email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. Call in at 6:15 on the second and fourth Thursday at 914-338-0686. Until we meet again, have a magical journey. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Tippy.